Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the South Bay Show, South Bay Spotlight, on January 4th, 2018. Live, love, laugh, and leave a legacy. That's what we do here in the South Bay of Los Angeles, and it's a beautiful place to do just that.
The South Bay Show is brought to you by the Academy of Foreign Languages. If you have any interest in learning a new language or brushing up on existing language skills, you should know about the Academy of Foreign Languages. Located in Palos Verdes, the Academy of Foreign Languages specializes in the art of communication. Their mission is to provide the finest language instruction possible. They recognize that each student has distinctive needs and craft their teaching technique to optimize an individual's particular learning skills. At the Academy of Foreign Languages, they strive to create a comfortable environment conducive to learning. So whether you're learning a new language or would simply like to converse in your native tongue, the Academy of Foreign Languages can accommodate you. For additional information, visit their website at academyofforeignlanguages.com, that's all spelled out, or call 310-975-4133.
I'm your host, Joe Terry, and you can read all about our many adventures on Facebook at facebook.com/The South Bay Show. Persistence, passion, principle, and purpose, that's what we talk about here on The South Bay Show. And of course, I'm not alone because of our great partnership with South Bay by Jackie.com and executive producer of The South Bay Show, Jackie Balestra. Hey, Jackie, how are you doing today?
Happy New Year, Joe.
Happy New Year. Wow.
2018. Yep.
Yeah.
Now we have to all get used to writing 2018 instead of 2017.
When I think of 2018, as has been true this whole, like, the last 20 years or 18 years, I'm thinking of 1918. I'm thinking of 100 years ago. There's so much history in the Roaring Twenties. And Jackie, I think the Roaring Twenties are coming back.
You think?
I do.
Well, you know, that when the economy booms, you know, things do get a little nutty.
Yeah. Yeah, I think there are so many forces at play around the world and in financial circles that this is going to be, this coming decade is going to be one heck of a ride.
So you think it's going to be all good, huh? You think it's the economy is just going to keep charging forward and people are going to have more money in their pockets and are we going to be back to the swinging 80s? When greed was good, and what was that term? ostentatious. What was that term? Ostentatious.
You had me at greed is good.
Greed is good, but there was another term. Ostentatious, not consumption, but excessive. I can't remember what it was, but there was a good term to describe the the zeitgeist of that day and age. And yeah, you may be right. You know, everything is cyclical. You know, what comes around goes around.
Right.
You know, the real estate market goes up, the real estate market goes down. The stock market goes up, the stock market. It always happens. You know, it's so funny because several people, I won't mention names, 2008, 2009, were just like, it's the end of the world. And I'm like, no, it's not. You know, give it a few years; it'll bounce back. It always does. Everything is cyclical, so you can't get wrapped up in that. But and the last thing you want to do is panic. You know, but anyway, how were your holidays? Mm-hmm.
Very amazingly, comfortable and not crazy. And I was able to get the presents that I wanted to get for people, and it's just I'm thankful. I was very thankful.
Yeah, you know, me too. Yeah, you know, me too. Same with us here. We were in town for the holidays this year. Very low key, you know. We went to a friend's house Christmas Eve for Christmas Eve dinner. We went to another friend's house for Christmas Day dinner. Again, you know, very comfortable, very easy, no craziness. I had my New Year's Day brunch. You know, I always have my annual New Year's Day brunch every year. And that was a lot of fun you know what I love about it? I love the idea of the brunch, you know, that hour, noon, because there's no workup to a night party. You know what I mean? Brunch is casual. You know, brunch is casual. I love, you know, it's casual. You know, we always have the football game on. It's just casual. There's, you know, you don't have to get dressed fancy. You know, everybody should just dress casually. And it's just a nice way to start the year.
Okay.
Do you think?
I do. I absolutely do. And that's an interesting concept is different times. I know you were saying what the last we were talking last year was about Thursday being the new Saturday.
Yes.
You still feel that way?
Well, Thursday has been the new Saturday for several years. Like Wednesday is like the new Saturday now.
Fantastic. Fantastic.
No, you'll see. Well, you know, I keep track of these trends because that's what I do. That's what my website is. And what happens is there are so many events on Thursdays. If you want people to come to your event, you don't want to in the middle of a bunch of other things on the calendar, so you move it to Wednesday. I'm even seeing stuff on Tuesday nights now.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's interesting. Yeah, I think people are getting out of that mold where they're all trying to crunch on Friday and Saturday because they realize they're competing. There's competition for people's time.
That's been going on for a while. First off, Saturday and Sunday are out because of soccer and baseball and hockey and that, you know, all the kids' sports because parents are traveling. The soccer parents the traveling they do is unbelievable. You know, every weekend they're at this tournament or they're here or there. So Saturday and Sunday has been over for events for years, and things moved to Friday for a while, and then but 10 years ago people started doing Thursday, more than 10 years ago. I remember when I was still in the corporate world. Our company, I worked for a big commercial real estate developer, and we had a lot of events. You know, every time you start a project, you know, you have your groundbreaking party, and then you have your topping off party, and then you have your open house party. So every time we did a project, there were a lot of events. And our big holiday Christmas party, which was always on a Thursday night, and you had to show up Friday. You know, that was the most fun, was showing up, everybody showing up Friday, all hungover, you know, recapping the night's events. So, yeah, Thursday night's been going on for a while. But the Wednesday and the Tuesday is still fairly new. So that's the trend.
Wow.
That's the trend. Yeah.
Exciting.
Yeah,
well,
I'm excited.
I am really.
Okay.
I am really. I'm excited because we have a great guest today. And a great topic, and I'm very excited about that.
All right. Well, yeah, let's get to it. You know, we always like to find the new and different, you know, things happening in the South Bay, and I came across this one a couple of months ago, and I thought it would be an interesting topic for the show.
All right. Well, thank you, Jackie. Who's our guest today?
Our guest this morning is Hila Reichs. Now, Hila is originally from Israel. She's been in the United States for the past 8 years, and she lives with her husband in Redondo Beach. Now, Hila fell in love with furniture upcycling and restoration 3 years ago when she decided she didn't want to work for the man anymore and opened her own business, Chic Doctor Upcycled Furniture. Hila specializes in shabby chic furniture and home decor and performs furniture CPR, carpentry, paint, and restoration. She'll also hunt down the perfect piece to your specifications. So welcome to the program, Hila. We're so glad you could join us this morning.
Thank you very much. I'm very, very happy to be with you guys today.
Thank you. Thank you. So this is, Hila, this is something that's really exciting because there are a lot of great furniture pieces built extremely well that are older, maybe out of repair, that need some refinishing. And then the skills to do refinishing, there aren't a lot of people that are, you know, sort of mentoring new people in these skills. So there are people out there that have these skills, but there aren't a lot of young people that are learning them. How did you find this business?
You're very right, Joe. Speaking of 1920s, I feel like back in the day, the furniture used to be made a lot better and used to be made to last. And nowadays, everything is made to last a couple of years and break, so you have to buy new. And I really dislike the fact that I have all this garbage constantly. So I learned everything I know from YouTube and from the internet. Unfortunately, I don't have a mentor or somebody like that to ask all the questions, but it's pretty easy to go online today and find a lot of great videos and a lot of how-tos. And basically, it's trial and error. You figure it out once or twice, and the third time it kind of gets better.
That's so interesting. That's so interesting. So basically, one day you had a chair and the leg broke off and you thought, how do I repair this? And you went to YouTube and you learned how to do it? That's amazing.
I think I had a little bit of some natural instincts. My grandfather used to fix everything, not necessarily furniture, but if something broke in the house, he would fix it. And, that's almost what happened. I saw some chairs behind our house in the alley, and they were really torn, and they needed reupholstery. So I tried it. I bought brick, and I reupholstered them, and I painted, sanded and painted, and I posted them online to see if anybody will want them. And the lady made me an offer a week later, and I sold them. Not for a great price, but I sold them, and that made me realize that there's a way to salvage a lot of people consider garbage.
You know, it's true. What you were getting at earlier, we are a disposable society. In the United States, we are. I know in a lot of other countries, third world countries and stuff, they keep everything. They don't throw anything away because somewhere down the road, they know they're going to find another use for it. But we really are. You're right. And it's sad to say when you think things are built to break, so that in a few years you'll have to use a new one. You'll have to buy a new one.
Mm-hmm. If you think about it, almost everything, I mean, from phones to cars, electronics or not electronics. I mean, I've been asked to repair sofas for years now, but unfortunately I don't have the skills. But if somebody can fix a sofa, a couch, we won't have to see all of them lying on the side of the road waiting to get disposed of.
That's funny. Oh, Joe, speaking of, I just wanted to mention this because now I can say this. I have an old Jeep that I bought many years ago, a Jeep Wrangler. Mm-hmm. This month it is 25 years old. It is officially vintage. It's officially vintage, I'm just saying.
Okay.
My husband drives the Wrangler.
Is his as old as mine?
It's 1991, I believe.
Oh, it's older than mine. Mine's 93. Wow. That and he was the original owner?
I don't know. I think so, yes. He treats
that's
it
cool.
very well.
I was going to say, he takes real good care of it?
Yes, ma'am.
Oh, that's exciting. All right, we'll have to get together and let our Jeeps meet each other. Okay.
Yes.
Right. Let them sniff noses.
Yeah.
this concept of, you know, Hila, we talk a lot about on this show because we're South Bay centric. We talk a lot to entrepreneurs who have worked for the man, who have worked for mm-hmm. corporate America, and have chosen to start their own business, to take their skills and their talents and what grandpa taught them, and do their own thing and do it closer to home, closer to the place that we all love living. And so tell us about the beginning. I mean, you're from Israel. What was it like growing up? Tell us about it.
Israel is very similar to South California, except for it's a lot more stressful. The weather is beautiful.
Okay.
The beaches are amazing, waves, and the people are friendly, but it is stressful. Unfortunately, everybody has to go to the military, including myself, and everybody knows somebody that fought a war and or got injured or killed in a terrorist attack. So it's a very close community, very, very stressed. I don't have a better word for it. Sometimes it's angry,
yeah.
Sometimes it's more loving. It definitely brings us together, and it's a great place to live in. It's not as scary as CNN makes it sound. I mean, I took my husband there 3 years ago to get married while there were bombs falling out of the sky, and nobody got hurt. I mean, we have a very good military system. I bet you what I'm saying now sounds horrifying, but for an Israeli person, I guess you just get used to living with constant stuff going around you, and you just have
no,
to trust the military to take care of you.
We're very aware in this country of what Israel goes through, but we are not in that situation directly. And when you talk about that, just briefly, when you talk about that, you know, people mm-hmm. don't understand what it's like to live under that constant stress, as you call it. It's just stressful. Because when you think about that, what I think about is that one-fifth, it's probably a different sort of proportion, but some people are in denial. Some people are
mm-hmm.
saying, oh, well, you know, it's not really that bad, and can't we all get along? Some people are angry. Some people are in the bargaining mode. Well, if we could just talk more, I'm sure we could work it out if we could just talk. Other people are depressed because there seems to be no solution, no way forward. And then other people are just accepting of the reality and going forward and living life. Life must go on, right? These are the
mm-hmm.
five stages of grief. And when there's all that stress in life, you know, there's going to be a grieving going on constantly. So I understand that very much.
You know,
so, okay.
Wait, you know, it's interesting
yeah.
because when you say it's stressful, you know, I grew up in New York City, and that's a pretty stressful city. All right.
More people die in New York every day than in Israel from all kinds of random reasons. But people say don't go to Israel, you'll get killed. That's exactly why I'm trying to explain why it's not like in CNN. It's not like a whole war zone. The borders are more dangerous. There are certain cities that are more dangerous. Like here, like you won't go to East LA in the middle of the night walking around drunk, right?
Right. Right.
You learn how to keep your eyes open. There's a lot more security going on, like in airports and malls and stuff like that. So all in all, it's safer, too. It's dangerous, more dangerous, but more safe at the same time.
I know.
Leaving and all the scares just makes us party a lot harder. Have you ever been to Tel Aviv, or have you heard of the nightlife in Tel Aviv?
Well, I have never been. I have plenty of friends that have gone there. They rave about Israel. But, you know, I visited West Berlin in
mm-hmm.
the early 80s, and it
mm-hmm.
was very much like what you just described. You know, it was they were walled off. They were surrounded by enemies on all sides, and they had this mentality of you know, eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we may die. And I know exactly.
Live today.
I know exactly what you're talking. Live today. Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about. But I have to tell you, since we're, you know, since we're on the topic of Israel and politics and stuff, I actually think that the guy that we have for president now in this country may actually make some headway on that front. I really do. I think if anybody can negotiate some sort of deal where everybody kind of walks away, okay, that's okay. I think Trump can do it. I really, really do. I know that's just way out there, but the man is the master negotiator. So I have very good feelings about that. So anyway,
well,
back to the topic.
You brought it up. I have to ask. Hila's from Israel.
Yes.
Hila?
Yes.
Is Jerusalem the capital of Israel?
It has been that way since the beginning of time. Yes,
so
Jerusalem
has always been
the capital.
So nothing's changed. Should people just recognize it? I mean, do you think that it was a big deal what Donald Trump did by saying, hey, Jerusalem's the capital of Israel? Or do you think it was just time to state the obvious?
I think the main point was to move the American embassy to Jerusalem. And I think by that, he's kind of showing the world his support in Jerusalem being the capital of Israel. But Jerusalem is a very important city to all different religions. I mean, if you do go there to the old city, there are four quarters, and there's the Muslim quarter and a Jewish quarter and an Armenian. And if it's our capital, it doesn't mean that other people can't live there and be successful there and love it and see the sights and the history.
Yeah. Okay. Well, you know, I have to agree, you know, Jackie, I did not vote for Donald John Trump. I did not vote for Donald John Trump. But this thing that's been going on for 50 years about, well, yes, it is, but we can't say it is, that has been so stupid for so long.
I agree with you. You know, I was surprised. I didn't know that much about it, and I was surprised to hear that every president since, I don't know, Truman or somebody has said, oh, yeah, we're going to recognize. They never got around to it. Obama did the same thing.
Yeah.
He said, yeah, we'll recognize Jerusalem as capital. And they never did it. And it's like, I don't know, they were gun shy or something. No. People are afraid of ramifications, you know? It's so silly.
I have to say, I was in the room, Jackie, when Donald Trump told his inner circle, we're going to recognize Jerusalem as the capital. I was there.
Oh, okay.
And they were all saying, Mr. President, put the weapon down. Mr. President, put the weapon down. And he said, to hell with that. I need more ammunition. The guy is, bless him, this was the right decision. Thank God. For all my Orthodox Jewish friends, Mazel Tov. This is the good thing. But what can we say? You know, what's going to happen is what's going to happen.
You know, it's interesting. You know, since we made that announcement, like all these other countries are doing things, they're all moving their embassies and stuff. So it's very exciting. And
you know,
you just have to have the cojones to do what needs to be done. And he's doing it. And I have to I appreciate it. I you know, it's interesting to hear. You don't hear many people on the left admitting how much good he is actually doing. They get more focused on his personality, you know, and the way he goes about things. But I think he's doing a lot of really good stuff. So,
but you already touched on it. I mean, he is a lunatic. I mean, come on. I mean,
I don't think so. He's a New Yorker. He's a New Yorker. I get him.
He's a New Yorker. Oh my God.
Yeah.
You get him.
I get him.
You get him.
I get him. Yeah. So I don't have an issue with that. So anyway, never mind. Okay. So we're done with the politics. Done with the politics. Let's get back to the fun stuff.
Done.
Let's get back to the fun stuff.
So now, I was just at an exhibit the other day at the J. Paul Getty Museum, which was all about photographs from Argentina. And the history of Argentina and the whole, you know, the sort of Eva Perón thing and the impact that her image and her persona had on the country is amazing and very fascinating. Argentina is a huge country. I mean, it's huge. It's
beautiful,
like
too.
United States. It's yeah. Well, can you talk a little bit about that? Because you're farther. You said you speak three languages. Yes.
Yes, sir.
Tell me about this this Argentinian the connection.
My father, well, originally, let's see, my great grandfather was a rabbi before Israel was Israel, up in Palestine or Judas or whatever you want to call it. Let's not talk politics again. But they fled in the beginning of the century to Argentina, started a family there. My grandparents, my dad, and uncle and aunt grew up there. And my father was a big Zionist. When he was 18, he took a trip to Israel and he volunteered in a thing called a kibbutz, which is like a social economic little town where everybody shares everything. You grow your crops together and farm. And he fell in love with Israel and decided to stay there. But originally they lived in Rosario, which is about 4 hours from Buenos Aires. I've traveled there many times. I've seen from the south where it's called the Land of Fire, the most southern point in the world. You've got glaciers and mountains and snow and penguins, and went all the way to the north where you have beautiful wine country like Napa, sort of. I spent 3.5 months just backpacking there after the military service. It was really pretty. I go every opportunity I get.
I love this. The southern tip of Argentina is the closest point in the Americas to Antarctica.
Yes. I'm not 100% sure if it's more southern than Australia, but I'm pretty sure it's the most southern point you can actually get up.
Wow. Wow.
Penguins, seals, all the whole shebang.
So somehow this all becomes the backdrop for being your own person, finding your own way, your own business, and now your own business is a very interesting concept of upcycling, not recycling, but upcycling. Tell me about the name upcycling. Where did that come from?
I was thinking I invented it for a short while until I started Googling it around and seeing a few years ago that it's kind of getting more popular. Obviously, nobody invented it. But I was because I didn't take a piece of furniture and completely broken it down and kind of ground it up and made something new. I just took the base, the core, the wood, whatever is salvageable, and kind of turned it into something new. I found that the word upcycle is as close as possible to what I do. I use the term CPR because, well, it relates to my name, Chic Doctor, but it is kind of reviving the furniture. I'm not taking one thing and creating something completely different. I'm kind of adding on to it and making it
upcycling. Upcycling.
Yep, exactly.
yeah. No. I've heard that term's been around for a while. I've heard that term. And you know, I love that. In all aspects, I think, of my life, I like older things because they have character. I'm not saying that a lot of new things don't. You know, there's a lot of great design out there today that has great character. But I've always found that it's the old things that have the – and I like things that are a little beat up. I'll see like a stone bowl that has a chip in it, and I love that because it gives it character. And speaking of recycled furniture, I just have to tell you one thing. My office, years ago, decades ago, I found, I discovered that some people were taking, you know, the old metal furniture that the like the Navy and the Army used to use. Joe, are you familiar with the metal desks and the metal file cabinets and the old metal chairs and stools? Well, you know, about 20 years ago, you know, some entrepreneurs were, you know, found this stuff. They were able to buy it cheap, and they would you know, just fix it up, shine it up, get it all in working order, maybe powder coat it or something. And now there are a couple of big companies doing it. One of them comes to mind, 20 Gauge. But I have all of this great furniture from, I think it's like the Navy in the 40s.
That's great.
Do you work with the metal furniture that I'm talking about?
One thing that comes to mind is shipping trunks, the military trunks, the lockers that are very, very popular these days. You just add some legs on it and people use them as coffee tables or storage displays. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I've seen those. Yeah.
That's great. Anything you can take and save from sitting in a landfill for the next 1,000 years, if you can reuse it. I've seen people take parts of cars and make beautiful benches out of. There's so many things you can do. You can make ottomans out of tires. You can make shoes out of tires if you go to Africa, apparently. I don't know if you saw the video online.
I've seen that. Are you familiar?
This world is getting smaller. We're growing so fast. We're going to run out of space eventually. We can't afford to keep on throwing out so much stuff.
Yeah, landfill. Yeah, we have a tendency to build on those. Are you familiar with, there's a company in El Segundo called Moto Art. They have a big facility in El Segundo. And what they've been doing for a long time is they take old airplane parts and they create furniture out of airplane parts. And Joe, you're familiar with it, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And that's, it can be extremely like cool and beautiful.
Oh yeah. 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 Yeah.
I haven't heard of it.
Fantastic.
Sounds great.
Yeah. Look it up sometime. They have a website, Moto Art, MOTOART. And I've been in their facility and you look up in the rafters and there's all like, airplane wings and propellers and staircases and all these different parts, old shells, armory shells, you know, and they just make all this fantastic furniture out of it. They got a big operation there. It's a lot of fun. Now, speaking of, you have a studio, you have a home studio, correct?
Yes, I work from our humble apartment in Redondo Beach, and luckily I got a little patio where I can do all my sanding and the sawing. But I started out with real no big initial investment. I just started out trying, like I said, with those chairs. So I'm growing. It's been 3 years in business, and hopefully I'm hoping to be like Moto Art one day, to have a big place where I can work on big, beautiful pieces. But right now I'm working mainly, well, I started my business selling my own furniture, my upcycled furniture, but it has grown into a repair service. So I mainly work at other people's homes, resanding and staining their dining tables or bed frames or dressers and stuff like that, stuff that you wouldn't want to necessarily ship anywhere because it will be heavy and bulky.
You are still doing a lot of your own furniture, though, right?
Yes, I always have stuff for sale on my website.
Oh, well, now, speaking of, tell us about your website. Give us your website address.
The address is www.chicdoctor.com, C-H-I-C. A lot of people think it's a chick doctor, even though there's no K there.
Yeah.
I admit I'm a chick. And a lot of people, when they see me, they're like, you are a chick. Just call it chick. But it's supposed to be from the French word of fashionable chic doctor.
Chic doctor. Well, now speaking of chicks, Joe, tell Hila what we were talking about before we went on air.
I was thinking, Hila, that photo of you with the two drills reminds me of those magazine covers that you saw with women draped over like power tools or autos at your local auto repair shop. Very, very sexy. Very sexy. Power tools and women, always sexy.
Thank you.
No, I agree. I agree. I absolutely agree. Who was it that brought that back big time? Was that TV show Home Improvement? Pamela Anderson. She was in her work boots and her tool belt, and very sexy. Very sexy.
Well, it's not really sexy when you are actually working and you're getting dirty. It's it's more like. Well, here's the thing I actually wanted to bring up. I can't find women's work clothes that are not office work clothes. I've been looking for years now for comfortable, khaki, or some kind of clothes I can wear that I won't look like my husband when he goes to work. You know, he's an aircraft mechanic, and I don't want to look like an aircraft mechanic and wear Dickies and big boots. I want to look so cute, but be comfortable and have pockets for my tools and everything. And I can't find it. So
right.
Usually I'm just wearing whatever got stained and all my safety equipment. It's not very sexy when you actually work. but it is a lot of fun playing with the big boys, quote unquote, tools, drills and saws and all that fun stuff.
I gotta
wow.
agree. I gotta agree. One of my bucket list items I've always wanted to do is drive one of those big pieces of heavy machinery. You know, the bucket loaders and the front loaders and the bulldozers. I always thought that would be fun to drive one of those. I'll get there one of these days. One of these days.
All right. You've done a lot, Jackie. You've been in what was that, a P-51 with your mom?
I've been in a couple of old planes. Yeah, I did
old
one
planes.
Of the bombers. I did a B-25 or a B-51. I can't remember with my mom. And then this last year, I did that. Was it Tiger, Flying Tiger 51 or something? It was a jet fighter plane. Yeah, I've done a couple of those things. But I always wanted to get on one of those big pieces of yellow iron. You know.
Yes.
I think
okay,
there's
so,
something
right.
of a grown-up's playground where you can go and play with tractors and big holes and stuff like that. Isn't
well,
that
I've,
a
I,
thing here in LA?
I don't know about that, but I kind of have an in, so I know people, so I will probably be able to do that. But anyway, so let's we keep going off on these different topics, and I'm excited about that we have somebody in the neighborhood that can do quality repair work on our furniture. So you have your website, you do your own pieces, but you're doing a lot of repair. That's correct?
Yes, ma'am. I have my Yelp page, which I get most of my requests from, and I'm glad to say I have some great customers that wrote some great reviews, and I work mainly in the South Bay. Once in a while, I'll go to Hollywood or something like that, but the clientele here, everybody is just super nice. A lot of people ask for business cards so they can give it to their friends, so word of mouth has been really, really nice. I worked with a lot of groups of friends that one told the other, told the third, told the fourth, and so on. And right before Christmas, I repaired a bleep ton of chairs, a lot of broken dining chairs, a lot of broken sofas and armchairs that needed to be repaired for the holiday dinners and the holiday festivities. But mainly it is...
Right.
Dining tables and dressers are my main work. I do also small repairs. Somebody gave me a vintage baseball bat that his grandfather had for a long time that cracked, and he needed me to repair it, or jewelry chests and stuff like that. Anything
a
that is
vintage
wood.
Baseball bat. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's signed by,
yeah.
I don't know baseball that much because we don't have it in Israel, but it was signed by somebody very famous, and I don't know how. I think they tried to nail it to a box and it cracked, so I had to fix it.
Oh my God.
No, you see, this is good. No, seriously,
mm-hmm.
because there just aren't that many people that do repairs anymore. You know, most
right.
people, as you mentioned, Joe, most people don't have the skills to reupholster a dining room chair or sofa or, just make repairs to, you know, wooden furniture. So it's always good to have, you know, this Hila is another tool in the toolbox, right?
It's also hard
right.
because a lot of times it might be cheaper to buy new than to repair. And unless you have something you spend a lot of money on or it's something that is a heirloom piece, a lot of people would say, okay, I'd rather sell it and get a new one, especially when it comes to newer furniture and smaller furniture like chairs or side tables.
You see, I don't agree with that. I don't agree with that because, A, they're just not making things as well as they used to. That's number
mm-hmm.
one. You know something funny? The refrigerator I have in my house right now is almost 30 years old. And about 10 years ago, it was leaking or something. So I called the repair guy, and he came out and he looked at it, and he said, you don't want to get rid of this. He said, this refrigerator is built of steel. He said, everything today is being built of plastics and they're crap. And that goes the same for your washer, your dryer, your dishwasher. Most of the appliances today are made from plastic, and plastic degrades. It always does. It eventually does. And all these, when you have all those moving parts that are plastic, it's not a good thing. I bought a new washer and dryer 3 years ago. I've had the repairman out 4 times already for it.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Well,
so,
if you compare furniture
wow.
to plastic, then usually you'll have these days pressed wood or MDF or particle board.
Right.
Which makes it lighter for shipping and lighter to carry upstairs. But they don't last. Once that is cracked or has the air bubbles or water bubbles or whatever, you can't fix it. You have to throw it out.
Exactly. You know, I know years ago, a couple of decades ago, I had a furniture person. I had somebody come in and do a repair on a sofa, and they said, oh, this is a good sofa. He said, this is well made with quality, parts. He said, the stuff
mm-hmm.
that you're making today is like, it's like being held together by toothpicks. So
yep.
if you have a sofa, your grandmother's sofa or something like that, yeah, they don't make them like that anymore. So, it is what it is,
yep.
folks. Right?
Yep.
right.
As a matter of,
right.
As a matter of fact, when John's grandmother died, all the kids were invited over to her house, and you know, everybody's like, if there's anything you want to take, go ahead and take it. And we ended up getting her patio set. It's a 1960s brown Jordan. And it was pink
mm-hmm.
and green. It was pink mm-hmm. and green. But it was full-on steel. We had it powder-coated. We had the strapping redone. And I will never get rid of this furniture. First off, it's classic lines. Second of all, about 10 years ago, when we redid our backyard, we needed more patio furniture. So we went to Brown Jordan and bought some new furniture. Nice as it is, nowhere near as well made as the stuff that we have from the 60s. Nowhere
mm-hmm.
near.
That's a shame.
The 60s stuff is solid steel. The new stuff is like a lightweight tube steel or aluminum. Not even steel, it's aluminum.
Mm-hmm.
So,
right.
Yeah, and new stuff is 50 years older than the old stuff, and it's not wearing as well. So there you go, right there.
This is, I think, part of why there's going to be a renaissance in the 30s and the 20s and the 30s. I'm talking about the 2020s and the 2030s. I think are going to be a return to quality craftsmanship. You know, more and more high level. I want to say high level, but really just busy work kind of jobs that are quote unquote intellectual jobs are going to be taken over by computers. But there's some jobs like doing fine furniture repair that robots, that'll be the last thing that robots ever get to.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Or shoe, or, I mean, real shoeing. Like they used to make the shoes back in the day where you actually leather and steel. Teaching is something
agreed.
That hopefully will get taken over. I hope teaching, our education systems could use a boost.
Well, that's another show. That's
right.
That's another whole show. Yeah. No, it's I think.
Sorry, go ahead.
Go ahead. No, go ahead.
I said one of the reasons I started this business is because not a lot of people work with their hands anymore, and not a lot of people know how to repair things, like you said. So I found a niche, but it goes the same for repairs of appliances. I really would like to get an assistant, but I can't find anybody that is a young, energetic person that actually wants to work with their hands. Everybody wants to help me with social media on my computer, but I want somebody to, you know, to get down and dirty with me and do some sanding.
So, you know,
go ahead.
I'm sorry, Jackie. No, please.
Oh, I was just going to say, go over to El Camino College. They still have workshop classes and stuff like that where people are learning trades. If you haven't checked out, you know, check out the campus over there.
Yep, I should.
What were you going to say, Joe?
I have found, Gila, that, you know, I'm an urban farmer. I grow microgreens. Here's a plug, microgreensla.com, microgreensla.com. Now, the thing is that a lot of my clients, what they ask and have since I started a year ago, they ask, well, how can I grow these at home? And I just always used to say, it's easy, you do this, you do this, you do this, and I thought, okay, I'm done. But no, the key was people were asking, can you help me? Will you put a kit together? So I put a kit together, and it's so profitable to sell the kits so that people can do these things at home. Also, people come to me and they say, why don't you teach classes about growing microgreens? I think, Gila, if you taught classes about how to repair things, I think people would pay, first of all. So the important thing is it's a source of income. People would pay to learn how to do things, how to refinish furniture, how to do things like this. You could really start a movement and find your group, find your the people that are interested in keeping the things that they have in good repair.
I would love to do that.
Yeah.
You know, the only thing I need is space.
You know, now that you mentioned that, you know, I'm curious, Gila, have you ever gone online to see if there's any kind of groups like that, people that are interested in that? Have you looked online? I mean, I gotta believe that there are people around doing this stuff, but you just have to find each other. You know?
Right.
Yes. There's a lot of places that are woodworking classes or woodworking groups, but they do charge you a lot of money to come and use their tools and use their space.
I haven't
found like a co-op where everything is kind of shared or free, or even like a symbolic, you know, where you can put a jar to be like, put some money in so we can just keep this place afloat. It seems a lot more like a business trying to, you know, grow, which is good. I mean, I completely understand when people want to make money, but sometimes it's a little more about community and helping each other and coming together to work together. I would love to do classes. I could do it tomorrow, but I just don't have the space. My apartment is tiny, and I would have to find a place where you know, I could work in.
Right.
Yeah, that's
South
something
Bay
that
little part.
You know, if you find 3 or 4 or 5 other people that are doing what you're doing, maybe you specialize in wood, maybe somebody specializes in metal, maybe somebody specializes in plastics, and you get together and, you know, then maybe together you could find a space, you know, that you could share the expense of. But in the meantime, if anybody has any furniture that needs some repairs or upcycling done, give Gila a call. Check her out. Her website is www.chicdoctor.com. She's right here in Redondo Beach. She'll come to you, which is very convenient.
Right.
Yeah. So if you've got some monster 4-poster bed that weighs 2 tons and you don't want to have to deal with moving it around, she can come to you and help you out. So this is a good resource, Joe.
Carpentry, paint, restoration. I know, Gila, that your grandfather would be very proud.
Oh, thank you so much.
There is something about...
I am proud of myself.
Good. There's something about working with your hands, working, you know, I often say that when I go to the farm, I feel like a real farmer when I put my hands in the soil and start to sow seeds. There's something very, very, very special about it. You can't always make as much money as you would like, so you have to add all these different things like training and kits and all this other stuff to try to put a business together. But it is really satisfying.
Yeah. It is. I think anytime you work with your hands, it's satisfying. We create something.
Yeah.
I think that's great.
Yeah.
And you're right. There has been for a while, like a craft movement. And we have that community here in the South Bay, you know, craft specifically, not necessarily repairing and recycling and stuff. But, there has been a movement around that, like that for a while. People going back to what's basic and good, right?
Mm-hmm.
If you go to the Sierra Festival,
you'll see a lot of local artists. That's a great festival in the summer.
What fair?
The Summer Riviera Festival in the Riviera Village.
Riviera Festival. We have several of those again throughout the South Bay, where that you know, the Manhattan Beach Hometown Fair, and you get to see, and those are becoming more localized. You know, Fiesta Hermosa, you know, they're giving local businesses a little more. They give them, you know,
exposure.
First rights as opposed to exposure to bringing in people from outside the area. So I think it's good.
Yep,
yes,
it's great.
It is. So, Gila, tell us now a little bit about the future. We've got a few minutes. And I want to know, what do you see happening in the near future for yourself and your business? What are some of the things that you could use help with? If anyone is listening out there and they're excited about this, how can they help?
Well, I would love to find an assistant to kind of mentor and kind of teach everything I know so they can help me with the workload, because it's, knock on wood, been pretty busy. I would also love to find an upholsterer that I could work with, because I have to send a lot of people away because I do not upholster couches and make cushions and stuff like that. I have a dream, maybe it's a near future, maybe it's the far future, of having a big warehouse where I can work in the back and there could be some classes taught in the front, and a little cafe with, you know, some local made snacks and drinks, and just a place where the community comes together and can profit and work together, kind of, you know, something more like you would find in the Midwest, I guess.
Mm. Well, one of the things, Gila, that we often talk about, Jackie and I, and that we've even had programs about recently, is the whole craft beer movement. It has exploded here in the South Bay, but it's not just about the craft beer making. It's about the concept of a tasting room. That is, they actually have places where you go. You're right next to the vats that are brewing the beer, and you can also drink the beer there. You can have a snack, and it's a very encouraging and fun environment to be right there where the brew is being brewed. So I think the idea of having a place where furniture is recycled and upcycled, and also where you get together with people that believe in keeping things that are good, I think that would be a winner.
Yeah. Have you ever walked by a jewelry store and saw the jewelry maker kind of inlay a diamond or a glass blower, sew the figurines? That's kind of the idea, having like a woodworker, myself or somebody else, in the back, and then you can actually see the furniture that you can purchase or a service that you can require or inquire about. And you can actually see who's going to work on it and the people and meet them before you call them in. Sometimes services that you order to paint your house or to fix something, you only have them on the phone, right? You never get to meet them. A lot of people call me because I am a girl and they're scared of having a man come in when they're alone at home. So kind of have an interaction with the worker is something that I think would be nice too.
You know something, you know, Joe mentioned the breweries, and boy, did they get it right, because as we all know, especially here in the South Bay, rents are ridiculous for retail shops, you know, to get space in Riviera Village or downtown Manhattan or downtown Hermosa or downtown El Segundo is very, very expensive. And the breweries did a complete 180, and they went into the industrial areas, the warehouse areas of the South Bay, of which there are a lot, you know, Gardena, you know, Eat Italian, you know, created their own community, opening a restaurant in the middle of a warehouse district in Gardena where there is not a soul in sight after 5 o'clock, you know, Strand Brewing is in warehouse, you know, and, you know, so you could get cheaper warehouse space, shoot, next to one of these breweries, and then you'll have an instant audience, you know?
That's a very interesting idea.
Yep.
Well, if anybody has some money out there and they're looking for an investment, my number is right here. Hopefully in the future when I get some money from the business, I could afford to rent a place and to open something bigger and more exciting with more people. Right now it's me, one-person operation, and I'm excited to see what happens, you know, in the next few months and years.
I think it's promising. I think it's promising. Hila, give us your contact information again, website and phone number.
Website is www.chicdoctor, C-H-I-C, and the word doctor.com. And my number is 303. I know it's a Denver, but I'm here in Redondo. 303-618-9484.
303-618-9484. All right. Let's bring her home, Joe.
All right. Well, Hila Rikes, it's been so wonderful having you on the show. Thank you for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me, Joe and Jackie. I had a great time.
The Chic Doctor Upcycled Furniture. It's a wonderful concept. We're so excited about it and about the future. And, of course, if you out there have anything that you can do to get involved, just get in touch with Hila. And it should be a lot of fun, and it could be very profitable. If you guys have any space out there that you think would be for this kind of business, please get in touch with her, and we're looking forward to it. Thank you very much, and of course, thank you, Jackie.
Always a pleasure, Joe.
All right, we'll see you tomorrow. Bye bye, everybody.
Bye bye.